You created these psychopaths. Now tell me how to get rid of them.
The Vervoids are not psychopaths.
Doctor, I heard them say they intended to wipe us out.
Something must have gone wrong, radically wrong. A malfunction of the DNA.
Why is it none of you can see what's so glaringly obvious?
Well, maybe we lack your divine insight.
No divine insight, just logic.
Logic?
When you overheard the Vervoids, Mel, how did they describe us?
Animal kind.
Not human beings, not Megarians. Animal kind.
I hope this is relevant.
It is. He's making sense. The Vervoids are plants.
At some stage, directly or indirectly, all animal kind consumes plant life. Without it, we'd perish.
I must have been blinded by professional vanity. Bruckner saw it. I should have too.
Doctor, if you're right, then coexistence with the Vervoids is an impossibility.
Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl on the podcast. We're talking Doctor Who and we're going back into the past. Colin Baker episode, the third story in the Trial of the Time Lord season, Terror of the Vervoids. I am Ken.
Jeff.
Kenny.
Before we get into the Terror of the Vervoids, anything else we want to talk about? We recently reported that Pamela Sandlin had passed away. She was in a couple of episodes of Doctor Who, a few episodes. And Michael Jason had passed away, and that's kind of why we decided to do this Trial of Time Lord, because he was in that. Which I wished, I mean, we're jumping the gun a little bit. I wish they had done more with Valyard, but...
Yes, it was a very strong performance by him.
Mm-hmm. And so anyways, anything else you want to talk about, or are we just going to go right into this?
I think we should go into it.
I've been watching HBO's been showing all the classic Trek movies, so I've been watching those except for five.
Five's a tough one.
So is the motion picture.
I like the motion picture. I think I like the motion picture better than Star Trek 3.
That's nice.
So I haven't seen those movies in so
long. That make you fall asleep, you know, like 2001 and
well, you just compared Star Trek motion picture with 2001 as Space Odyssey. Thank you.
Because they're both boring?
No, because they're both good. Anyways, and the most overrated of all of them is Star Trek Wrath of Khan.
What?
It's an excellent movie, mind you, but it's overrated. It's not as good as everyone says.
Yes, it is.
Why does Scotty go to the bridge?
Oh, I knew that's what's coming up. Why does Scotty go to that?
Was there a malfunction?
Because that's the only thing negative you can say about the movie, because it's like the best of them all. Oh, he's gonna do that. It's all you ever say. It's like maybe he got confused. There was like a battle going on.
Do you remember that the I think it was the sixth movie where Scotty walking through the
that was five
and he hits his head on the thing and knocks out. That was the best scene in Star Trek history of all time. But anyways, that was five. That was bad.
How do you know the classics, but you don't know Row, Row, Row Your Boat? Whoops.
That's good. Let's talk about Terror of the Vervoids. Talk about bad. Well, first off, what'd you guys think of this one?
I don't think it was as bad as you guys are making it out to be.
No, I actually kind of like it because it's kind of like a murder mystery.
Yeah. It's got the mystery. Mm-hmm. It's got Honor Blackman in it, who I like. You know, she does a good performance as her character, and I just like her as an actress. I think it's an interesting idea. I like that they kind of kept to some elements of what it would be like if there was really a plant that was trying to take over everything, like having the human compost heap. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all that's true.
If just one leaf had survived. This is a genocide trial.
Yeah, I like a lot of elements of that, like you just mentioned, the whole murder on the express. I didn't like the special effects in this one at all. I thought the spaceship effects were horrible. There's a deleted scene where they show the ship being loaded up with stuff, supplies, and it's got to be almost as bad as, I think it was probably one of the worst special effects in Doctor Who history. I'm glad they cut it out, you know.
How can loading up a ship with supplies be a bad effect?
There was these little ships flying up to it, and it just looked horrible. It looked horrible.
I thought they were loading the cargo hold or something.
No. There's a version of this episode on the Blu-ray set where they take the trial scenes out.
And didn't they redo the effects for that, too?
Yeah, they redid the black hole thing. That was god awful. I'll give you that.
I thought the black hole by itself looked pretty cool, but once they put the spaceship in it, it didn't look that good.
Yeah, it didn't look. Yeah.
Again, I mean, that's
The times, you know? Yeah, I think of the technology that they had, and think of the budgets that they had at the time.
Well, there was a better black hole in Blake 7.
Well, wasn't that a toilet that is? I mean.
but it worked.
Well, that's funny. But, I mean, the previous two episodes showed signs of better effects, and this one was a drop backwards. So
it cost £8,000 to do that model set. They blew the whole effect on that one model scene.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why they kept showing it, to get their money worth out of it.
Yep.
I do say it's great. I just love that model scene.
David Alistair, who played Bruckner, was in Leisure Hive. Arthur Hewlett, who played Kimber, was in State of Decay.
Was he really?
Yeah. And Honor Blackman was in The Avengers.
And she was also in Goldfinger.
I was going to say Anne James Bond, yeah.
Yep. And she was, Professor Lasky was reading Murder on the Orient Express.
I did not pick up on that. Thank you.
Yes, she was.
So,
She was 94 when she died.
I guess I agree with you on those elements. That we have the murder on a ship. There was a lot of the Doctor knowing people on the ship. He knew the captain.
He knew the Commodore.
Commodore, and he knew, like, he was, someone had contacted him, and I thought that was kind of odd that
he knew the agent. Well, don't forget, this was taken out of a story that he used for evidence from his future.
Yep.
Because that avoids them having to say, how did you meet Mel?
Well, yeah. And this was unique that we had a companion that we didn't see the introduction to. And I thought that was okay. I do not like the Mel character in this.
No.
She is super annoying. The screams are great because there's a scream, I think it happens twice, where she screams and it goes right into the music.
The cliffhanger.
And they did it this on purpose.
Because this story, we didn't get your normal Colin Baker staring at the screen going, cliffhanger.
Yep.
The five words said, what? Oh, look at the camera and give us a look, Colin. Because, I mean, that's majority of all the cliffhangers in Trial of the Time Lord or him staring, going like, oh, my God.
Well, he's on trial. I mean, that makes sense.
But you don't need to have, like
they zoom
more
in on him, you know, and he's just like, huh?
You don't have to have the majority of your cliffhangers being him giving a look.
But I didn't like the Mel screaming, but they had her scream specifically on a certain key to fit the music, and it worked perfectly. It went right into the I thought that was kind of funny, but
it was.
Did we ever get any audio adventures or anything where they meet, where the Doctor and Mel met?
I think there is. I know there was I know there was a book, and I think Gary Russell wrote one of those past Doctor adventures where how he meets Mel.
Okay.
I think I had him sign it. Yeah, I had him sign it. I don't know what it's called.
I also
it might
read,
be called Peace Pottage. I forget what it's called.
I also read, I don't know if this is a book or a Big Finish, where there's an alternate reality version of this episode where the Valyard and his companion go to this ship. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
No.
Not to me.
I read it somewhere, and it was like an alternate reality where it's Valyard and his companion, and they just are causing problems. They want. You know, they're causing havoc and stuff like that. They're bad guys, you know, but I thought it was kind of...
Well, I have to say, Michael Jason was pretty good in this episode. He was more attack.
Yes.
and more poking the bear in this one, because obviously he knows what's going to happen, because we find out next episode, but now he's more dramatic instead of just, you know, a punching bag of being, his name being changed, all that.
Well, he gets more emotional.
Well, I was going to say, he does that at this point because it's the doctor being on defense. He's raising his defense, so he's asked to be on the attack at this point to take him down.
Yeah, he's much more aggressive and stuff like that, so it starts to show. Because he was really confident and cocky in the last two stories. He's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Now he's like, wait a minute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes, how did you know that that person was not whatever those things were? Oh, he didn't hit his translator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's still some doctored footage with the doctor sabotaging the
communications. Yeah. And then the scientists start turning on each other too. Mm-hmm. During this, the three scientists.
I thought the middle part of this story was okay, and yeah, I mean it was all right. I never really gave this episode much thought, because I thought it wasn't as good as the rest of the season, to tell you the truth. I thought Mysterious Planet was a little bit better than this one, not by a lot, but I thought.
I liked the mystery element of this. Like I said before, yeah. I think that was strong. I think you had some clues you could follow, so it made sense too. Made sense from a mystery point of view.
Yeah.
The Vervoids.
Well, I thought the makeup was pretty good. I thought the alien effect was
pretty good. Face, the mask, and the but then it's just a leaf.
I thought when they died, it was pretty cool, because they go from green to brown.
Yes.
But it's pretty juvenile, kind of. Who wrote this one? Is this the
Pip and Jane Baker?
Pip and Jane Baker can be very childish and simple. And sometimes simple is good. And I think the mystery in this was a little on the simple side.
Isn't this the one where Chibnall goes, it's just a bunch of silly running down corridors? Isn't this the episode?
Maybe, but I mean,
couldn't tell you. I mean, they run down so many corridors and so many other stories, you know.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't be criticizing any of the Doctor Who, because
not anymore.
His episodes were silly with people just being stupid. Hey, you're the one who brought up Chibnall this time, not me.
Well, I thought this was this story where he criticized Pip and Jane Baker, and he goes, "Well, in
I mean, there's a lot of stories where there's a lot more running up and down hallways. So this one's, but this one,
I wish they were still alive when he was doing it, so they can give it the same thing.
Well, I wanted to say that Russell T. Davis just said that the first person he turned to write stories was Chris Chibnall for the new season, and Chris Chibnall said no.
Thank God.
Thank you, Chibnall. Thank you. Russell T. Davis, what are you thinking?
Why would he come back after doing, what, three seasons and a couple specials to end his run? Why would he come back after doing 3 years?
No.
Moffat came back.
But he had a long time off.
Why would Russell T. Davis ask him back? Did he? I guess he didn't watch the shows, the episodes.
Because they're friends.
Well,
I thought they were buds.
Maybe he thought they were good. And if he thinks they were that good, then we're in trouble.
He's not going to rip his friend's work, even if he thinks it's crap.
Why not? Okay, so I thought Honor Blackman added quite a bit to this. I mean, it was good to see someone that I didn't recognize hardly anyone else in the cast. But it was good to see her in this. I'm glad she got a chance to be in the show. Yeah, I mean, I guess it was okay for the most part.
Why do you think the doctor chose this from his future to show?
Well, I'm going to because he ends up killing a whole race of.
Yeah, he kills a whole race, and now it's a genocide. So it seems odd that that's what he would pick. Yeah.
But there were only seven beings. Can he really have a race with seven beings?
I mean, if I were him, you had the Matrix and you can pick anything from the future, I would have picked Orphan 55. I mean, just obviously that would be the one to pick.
Benny! That's stupid. Benny! It just surprised me from just a logical, you know, lawyer point of view. Why would you pick this one?
Yes. I have it written down here. Why did he select it? I mean,
it didn't do him any favors.
No. It made
almost
it worse.
Almost everybody died, except for a handful of the Commodore, the girl that was the one that helped you with everything, that checked you in, and maybe a security guard here or there. But other than that,
mm-hmm.
What was the Sixth Doctor's final line of dialogue?
Care juice. Yeah, it's going to say care juice for the whole thing, which I thought was really too bad. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. It's just. I felt that the first step, the ultimate, I keep saying ultimate because it's on here, Mysterious Planet and Mind Warp, Colin Baker did really good in both episodes, especially Mind Warp. And then to go to Terror of the Vervoids, where he's like, carrot juice, and it turned into a comedy. The music at the beginning was like so 80s, you know, 80s. And
but is that his fault or is it the fault of the writing?
No, it's totally the right of the writer, but and John Nathan Turner, but it was just too bad. I'm not blaming Colin Baker by any stretch, but that's why I
okay. It sounds like you're worse. That's why I just wanted to step in. I think he did the best he could with the material he had.
But I mean, the whole tone of it was so different, and it doesn't. I mean, again, Mind Warp has a very dark tone, and this is just like. It just was too jarring. That's why I had trouble with it. And then it got darker, obviously, because we just talked about how, you know, it's like, who's going to survive in this episode? But
well, I did like how he goes. I mean, we brought this up a couple times to Compost. He goes to Mel. He says, she's like, oh, why would I do that? She goes, oh, what do you do with the leaves and stuff at your house? And she goes, oh, I put it in a, oh.
Yeah. Again, very simple. And I don't mind simple once in a while. I just thought it was kind of like, okay, a little too on the nose. It's like you said, they're plant creatures and they're leaves, you know, and they're walking leaves, a pile of leaves. It's like, how many, other than the head was pretty good, but I thought the effect of the half created woman in the thing was pretty good.
That was creepy as heck.
I like that. Where that she's like in there, she's throwing the food, and the doctor and Mel look at her, and she opens her eyes, and then Mel goes, ah!
It did remind me, this episode did remind me, and I have a soft spot for episodes where there's a ton of death. Well, not. It's just Earthshock.
This is great. There's tons of death.
Yeah, well, Earthshock, Resurrection of the Daleks.
Revelation
of Daleks, even innocent people, like this girl is innocent, the lab assistant or whatever, and she, you know, the things just open the thing and she's just lying there and they choke her.
Then you must really like Resurrection of the Daleks when Tegan's trying to escape and that's the person fishing or something and he just gets
yeah, it's just it's random and it's just like, look out, you know. But but yeah, so this, I'm not saying that. Okay, how many people died? 16. Okay, it's a 4-star, but it's just it adds realism to it. And again, why did he pick this one? He could have picked. I know he's not going to pick. You know, he's not going to pick stories from that are not Colin Baker. And obviously, whatever. It's
yeah. But still, just, you know, from a logical point of view, if you were on trial for your life, why would you pick this one where you're wiping out entire species?
Maybe that was the best one he had. Well, I mean, he
regenerates a lot.
Well, so. He regenerates one. He regenerates. That was the only episode he had left because he regenerates right after that, right?
Well,
on the TV show, anyways. I got one from my future, but it's the last one I have because right after I drink that carrot juice, I fall over and regenerate.
I hit my head in the TARDIS console and I regenerate.
I exercise myself to death. It's stupid. anyways.
Yeah, it's a dumb regeneration.
But we're not out there yet. We still have...
At least Durrani had the common sense. Leave the girl. It's the man I want. I said, I don't want to listen to her screaming all the whole episode.
Okay, getting back to this episode where we just learned Ken is really bloodthirsty. Is there anything else we want to say about it?
No, I guess that was good, and we can move on.
All right.
Thanks for listening.